And now, Don Blackwell.
Thank you for joining our program today. In last week's program, we began discussing the judgment bar of God. We have several points we would like to notice relating to the final judgment day of our Lord. Last week, we noticed the first three points. The first point is, at the judgment bar of God, I will not be alone. Point number two, at the judgment bar of God, I will be alone. Point number three, at the judgment bar of God, I will face my Lord. We want to continue our study today with point number four, and that is, at the judgment bar of God, I will anxiously await the opening of the books. We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Here the Bible uses the opening of the books to symbolically depict the important information that's going to be revealed on that day. First, let us notice that the Bible refers to a book called the Book of Life. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he referred to those whose names are written in the Book of Life. Now, what is this book? Friends, this book is the Book of the Redeemed. You know, in this life, we know of all different types of roll calls. We know of the honor roll, we know of the employment roll, but all of the roles that we know in this life pale in comparison to the roll of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, we learn that those who have their names on that roll are members of Christ's church. But you know, that's not a surety in and of itself that one is going to be saved, because Revelation 20 and verse 15 says that our names can be blotted out of that book. It's not enough just to be a member of the Church of Christ, but I have to live faithfully, or else my name can be erased from the roll. But let me tell you about another important book that's going to be opened on that day, and that book is the Word of God. John 12 and 48, Jesus says, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in that last day." Friend, you may throw away your Bible. You may cast it aside. You may disregard its words. But you are going to hear them again someday. I have even heard of some who have literally taken razors and cut out passages from their Bibles because they did not like them. But friends, on that day, the day of the Lord, those very words will judge us. Number five, at the judgment bar of God, my life is going to be an open book. Solomon wrote, "God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, we read, "In the day in which God will judge the secrets of men." Now, from these two passages, I learned that all of the secret sins that I have ever committed will be revealed on that day if they're still held against me. That means all of the secret envy, all of the jealousy, all of the hatred and animosity and ill will and unforgiveness that people harbor in their lives will be brought to light on that day. Those secret sins that we think only we know about, they'll be brought to light in that day. Friends, on that day, my life will become an open storybook. Number six, at the judgment bar of God, I will hear the commending or the condemning voice of God. In Matthew chapter 25, we have a very thought-provoking study in contrast. I want to read you just two verses. The first is from verse 34 of that chapter. The Bible says, "Then the king will say to them on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" The next verse is verse 41. It says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now notice the contrast. To one he says, "Depart." To the other he says, "Come." To one he says, "Ye cursed." To the other he says, "You blessed." To one, "Into everlasting fire." to the other, inherit the kingdom. To one, prepared for the devil. The other, prepared for you. Friend, which voice will you hear? Come, you blessed, or depart, you cursed. Our next point is this. At the judgment bar of God, I will be in one group or the other. The Bible says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear His voice and will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now notice the two groups. You have condemnation, or you have life. And then shall be gathered before Him all nations, and they shall be divided as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Notice the two groups. The sheep or the goats. And whosoever shall be found not written there. Notice the two groups. Some are written, some are not. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the Lord will take vengeance on those who know not God. Notice the two groups. Some will receive rest, others will suffer vengeance. Friends, in every one of these verses, mankind is divided into one group or the other. Now, what does that mean? It simply means this. If I am not in one group, then I am in the other group. That means that if I am not in the group of the saved, then I'm over here in that group that's going to be lost eternally. Friends, some people think, I'm too good to go to hell, but I'm not in the same category with the Peters and the Pauls and the Johns and these great men such as they. So somewhere or another, I'm over here in a third group. That there's a third destiny out there somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing taught in the Bible. The Bible is extremely restrictive. At the judgment bar of God, I will be in one group or the other. Our next point. At the judgment bar of God, I will begin my eternity. Matthew 25:46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Friends, if our Lord left this earth in A.D. 33, that means that only a little over 700,000 days have passed since Jesus left this earth. Not even a million days have passed since Jesus was here. And yet we think about how long ago that was. But friends, eternity is not a million days. It's not a million months. It's not a million years or decades or centuries. We are talking about an expanse of time that has, I should not even use the phrase time. We are talking about an expanse that has a beginning, but you never leave the beginning. Now, I can't comprehend that. In eternity, you don't mark the days off the calendar because time doesn't pass. And friends, at the judgment bar of God, I will begin that eternity. And forever and ever, I will be in eternal torture or eternal bliss. I have to tell you that the thought of what it would be like to be lost for all eternity terrifies my soul. There will be no looking to the end. There will be no marking off of the days. It will be torture and torment today and tomorrow and the next day, and it will never end. Friends, that thought makes me ready to do anything that I have to do to make my life right with God. Whether it be overcoming my pride, whether it be giving up earthly joys, whether it means confronting fear and overcoming sin, whatever it may be, it seems so unimportant when I consider the horror of losing my soul. At the judgment bar of God, I will not be alone. At the judgment bar of God, I will be alone. At the judgment bar of God, I will face my Lord, and my life will be an open book. I will hear the commending or condemning voice of God. I will be in one group or the other. And at the judgment bar of God, I will begin my eternity. Friend, the question today is, are you prepared for the day in which you will stand before the Lord in judgment? Are you prepared to go to the judgment bar of God? Once we leave this life, no further preparations can be made. Any preparations, any changes have to be made while we're here and while we are still living. The Bible teaches only those who are faithful members of Christ's church will be prepared when the Lord comes again. Is that your situation today? Are you a member of the Church of Christ who is living faithfully? If that is not your situation, then you need to know that the Bible teaches that in order to be a part of that church, that a man must hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Then a man must believe that gospel. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, we learn from Jesus himself that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But after hearing the gospel and believing it, a man must repent of his sins. We're commanded, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. A man must hear, believe, repent. He must confess his faith in Christ is step number 4. Romans 10 and 10 tells us that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Again, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Perhaps you're listening and you say, I've never heard this before. I've always been told just to say a prayer and ask Jesus to come into my heart. Friends, I challenge you to search your New Testament. You will never find that being the case. No one was ever told in the New Testament age to say a prayer and invite Jesus into his heart.